Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Testa Friday edition, rolling into the happier happy hour, and I'm happy to be joined by my little buddy Dominic. How you doing, man?
I'm sorry, Crudy, I don't recall.
Man, we were both watching the Marjorie Taylor Greene. Should have been we both have more pressing work
yes,
to do, but
yes, but
it was captivating. The total recall-less testimony of Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I'm going to get
when,
there.
Go up. When Marge was asked about Pelosi and her quote that Pelosi was a traitor and
treasonous traitor.
She did one of those long blinks, you know, like Walker used to do to you, and looked at her attorney and paused and said, I'm not going to answer that question. I mean, what? I mean, this is either your tweet or it's not. This is very simple. And while I certainly appreciate the attorney for the plaintiffs, ma'am, I would have been lambasting her back to back to back to back. He was very cordial, I thought, professional perhaps, but she was certainly a hostile witness, and you cannot tell me you don't remember, I don't recall, yeah, that's a clip of me, but it's not the entirety of the clip. What, they got to play the entire 5-10 minute interview, Marge? Either that's you or it's not you.
Well, it was linked on CNN. You can't trust CNN. They lie.
Oh, not Mother Jones, too. That was a Mother Jones YouTube clip. I mean, unless you're telling me it's a deep fake, Marge, that's you. I don't care where it's from.
Now, the attorney for the state of Georgia, or the people at least filing this lawsuit seeking to keep Marjorie Taylor Greene off the ballot in Georgia, Selly, you know, he tried to ask her some tough questions, tried to get her to acknowledge anything. Like, what'd you have for breakfast? I don't recall.
I mean,
it was really pretty bad. And then Bop, yes, the now infamous Bop, because he also represents Gableman here in the state of Wisconsin, he also represented Citizens United.
Yes,
in the Citizens United case, he also represented Bush in the Bush v. Gore case. So, I mean, this guy doesn't seem like much, but he's a very influential attorney, and he is right in the middle of this J6.
Yeah, so is Rudy Giuliani. I mean, they are until they're not. You know what I mean? I mean, sooner or later.
Giuliani was something of a renowned federal prosecutor like I guess you weren't here. My fine guest, sorry you missed, Jim Santel. He was a former prosecutor, a former U.S. attorney. And, of course, America's mayor, right, Rudy? But Rudy didn't have the legal successes that Bop has had. I mean, some of the most instrumental cases in American political history, this freaking guy's been involved in.
Right, right.
And he adds to his resume today for the defense of Marjorie Taylor Greene.
And he was objecting. I mean, the poor judge, you know what I mean? I mean, this is what you pull. This is what you got to deal with. But I mean, all in all, it was fairly captivating, and to see the, you mocked me some
condescension of the witness,
the body language of the witness was quite telling as well. The quote that he was trying to get her to acknowledge that was her quote: "She's a traitor to our country. She's guilty of treason." Again, the Raw Story reporting, Green said of Pelosi in a 2019 Facebook video. "She took an oath to protect American citizens and uphold our laws. She gives aid and comfort to our enemies who illegally invade our land. That's what treason is. And by our law, representatives and senators can be kicked out and no longer serve in our government. It's a crime punishable by death is what treason is. Nancy Pelosi is guilty of treason."
Objection, Your Honor. What, are we going to go all the way back to her high school days?
I mean, 2019? Does that really even meet? I don't remember.
Youthful indiscretions, if it was even her, because she can't even recall if she tweeted that. It was funny to me how she tried to have a good relationship with the judge. Like, oh, me and you, Judge, you know, just between you. Did you hear? Because they actually had an open mic. On the live feed I was watching, there would be a break in the courtroom, and she'd turn and small talk the judge. Like,
she you want to stretch your legs? No, I'm fine. How are you doing? Yeah, there was some small talk there.
Small-minded talk, some would say. The other, at least one of the other big breakers overnight, I saw a story about Jimmy Raskin on the J6 committee. He is a Democratic congressman. Of course, he was one of the impeachment managers, if you'll recall. And he is borne witness to what? Like 800 different witnesses. They've all testified behind closed doors. And Raskin assures us the J6 committee is going to do public hearings, but not till June. But we both have June birthdays, Deb. So, you know, it'll be J6 birthday month for us.
Right. I'll take that action for a little birthday present.
Well, throwing an indictment or two from the DOJ will make it Merrick Garland month. I saw today there's on the hit list of sound, there's Merrick Garland announces indictments of former president. I'm like, it's Merrick Garland Day, the former president of Honduras.
Yeah.
Come on, Merrick.
You gotta say, you can't tease it like that.
But here's the part that I read between the lines, and I didn't have to read that far between the lines. Jamie Raskin said effectively as Mike Pence was whisked out of the Senate chamber. And what were they chanting at the Capitol?
Hang Mike Pence.
They were specifically, he had been targeted by his own president. You know, the rage was being directed specifically at Mike Pence. So they take him through the building. They take him out to the loading dock, my understanding, sort of a back entrance to the U.S. Capitol. And there's a car. And Raskin said, you know, some of the most chilling 6 words I've heard is, I'm not getting in that car. I mean, think of it in those terms. I was using the analogy of a mob of angry anti-Crudites were running down the street wanting to hang my ass. And a guy said, get in the car. And I said, I'm not getting in that car. I'll take my chances with the hang Mike Crute mob. What is he fearful of in the car? And that means
we're just hiding the shed behind the scary chainsaws. I mean, it sounds like a bad insurance commercial.
That was the plan B. That was hamburger B. Penn State on site.
I'm not getting in that car. Why? And this is a very curious thing. Why would, when a violent mob is roaming through the Capitol building chanting "Hang Mike Pence," why would he not leave? Why would his security not whisk him away if there is literally a threat against his life? They're threatening his life as they're walking through the halls. Why was Mike Pence still there? Why would he not get in that car, Crudy?
Well, that's very interesting. I asked James Santel that very question, and Jim said, you know, usually it's not even within that person's ability to overrule the Secret Service. And Jamie Raskin alluded to the fact that Mike Pence's Secret Service agents were in direct communication with the White House. Well, that's where Donald Trump was sitting out the insurrection, right? So presumably Trump's, you know, maybe not Donald Trump sitting down in the Secret Service room, but someone was monitoring the movements of the vice president through his security detail. And he gets down to the loading docks. And I've seen other reporting specifically saying that was a rendezvous point for the Proud Boys. That's where they met, is where the car was waiting for Mike Pence that he said, I'm not getting into it. So if we are to believe the prior reporting, I don't know why that would be misrelated. Why would they lie about that? So if I assume the Proud Boys are waiting on the docks for the guy and he didn't get in the car, he's literally hiding in the shed with the chainsaws. He's literally in harm's way. And if we believe there is a violent conspiracy afoot, and why would I believe that? Because the charges have already been leveled by the Department of Justice, seditious conspiracy against the Proud Boys. These people came with violent intent. You know, there might have been some touristy kind of knuckleheaded patriots that got caught up in the action, took a couple of selfies, you know, pushed their real estate companies, whatever the case may be.
Vote for me.
But I think there was a larger conspiracy afoot. We've always thought, well, you know, it was a multi-pronged attack, right? And there was this procedural attack, this coup d'etat, this Green Bay sweep, where they tried to object to the Electoral College, maybe throw it to the state or throw it to the House of Representatives. But I had always thought this other part was, you know, riled up and cited. But I never considered that perhaps there was a more violent plan afoot. And if they didn't mean to do harm to the vice president, they certainly meant to take him off campus.
Raskin, reporter here in the Raw Story. It's anybody's guess what could have happened. Martial law, civil war.
I got some guesses.
Oh, well, you know, the beginning of authoritarianism. I want people to pay attention to what's going on here, because that's as close to fascism as I ever want my country to come to again. This was not a coup directed at the president, Raskin said. It was a coup directed by the president against the vice president and against the Congress. He said, of course, as you mentioned, Curdy, the Pence then uttered what I think are the six most chilling words of the entire thing I've seen so far. I'm not getting in that car, Raskin said. He knew exactly what this inside coup they had planned for was going to do.
Dominic, I've got reporting from immediately after, from January of 2021, Newsweek, the source. An FBI witness says that members of the far-right Proud Boys had hoped to assassinate Vice President Mike Pence and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi during last week's violent storming of the U.S. Capitol. This was reporting like a week after it happened. An FBI special agent made the claim in an affidavit as part of a criminal complaint against 43-year-old Dominic Pozzolo, who is accused of taking part in the riot in support of President Donald Trump. False claims that the election was stolen. Pozzolo, who is known as Spaz, allegedly used a shield taken from a Capitol police officer to smash a Capitol window before entering the building.
Yeah, you see it on camera. I don't remember.
An FBI witness said the group Pozzolo was with had discussed committing violent acts that went far beyond property damage. Was there an active plot to kidnap or assassinate the vice president? And what would have happened to Mike Pence if he got in the car? Come back. More Devil's Advocates, the Friday Grievance Edition. Mike Pence, yours could be next.
The mood of the crowd was positive and festive.
You're going to be dead.
This isn't very nice, is it?
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Join us on the phones, air your grievances on Fridays at 844-967-2789. I got a grievance. Who's the DJ on this show, man?
You get a fast car.
This guy's heading to Disney. He's already on vacation.
He's already checking out.
We were driving in your car. Driving me anywhere. Like, you could shoot me in the back of the head and put me in the trunk.
Oh, anyway, what? So, I mean, I want to drill down just a little bit on this theory. Okay, Kurt, you got something? Go ahead.
Here's something that was not noted by Jamie Raskin. The vice president, when he was whisked off the Senate chamber, and it was during the count of the Electoral College on January 6, 2021. Now, let's not forget, just within the room, within the Senate chamber, Pence only missed the mob by about 1 minute's time. That was just in the room. And they whisked him off, right, to what was described at the time as a safe location, a safe room in the building. But that would be completely contradicted by what Jamie Raskin said. No, they took him down to the loading docks. They took him to a car, and he refused to get in the car. So that seems very troubling to me. You could read a lot into it. But here's something you may not have considered and may have forgotten about. Mike Pence was not unaccompanied by his family. In fact, his
brother was with him.
His wife was with him. Mother was with him. Karen Pence was with the vice president. Mike Pence's daughter was in the chambers. So when they came to hang Mike Pence, He had his family with him. So consider it in that context. Now they take him out of the chambers, they rush him off, and they take him to this car, and he's got his wife, and he's got his daughter, and he still won't get in the freaking car.
And of course, that's the question, why? Why don't you get in the car? Are you concerned for your
safety? He felt
safety
safer
if you
with
get
the mob
the
than he did in the car. I mean, think about that. You got your wife, you got your kid, you got your whole life with you. And people are upstairs. You just missed him by a minute. And they're chanting, hang Mike Pence. You can hear it. You can hear the insurrections. You've got to be able to hear that violence going on in the building. And they get you out to the loading docks. And he sensed somewhere in his gut, he knew. I mean, he'd been pressured by the old man.
His gut. He knew exactly what was going on. I don't know if it was that he feared for his life and he thought he'd be safer there versus off campus. I get the impression that he knew how the coup was going down. And if he was whisked away, if he wasn't on site, he could not do his job, that would just, you know, delay it further. And every minute that he did not do his job was another minute, another opportunity for the insurrectionist bastards to get their goal.
So he hid behind the chainsaws in the shed with mother and his daughter.
Oh, and again, I saw his brother was with him as he was getting whisked down the stairs. I thought it was a body double at the time, but it was his brother. What happened to his brother? But I mean, I have to assume Pence is intimately involved in having an idea of what the plan was. I mean, they were trying to convince him to go along with it. He certainly knew what Trump wanted him to do, and he didn't do it.
Well, let's not forget federal prosecutors in real time. This didn't take 16 months to unwind, but federal prosecutors in Arizona wrote in a filing that same week that they believe there's strong evidence which supports that the intent of many of the Capitol rioters was to capture and assassinate elected officials in the United States government. They weren't coming to pat him on the back or give him a little pressure, a stern lecture. Some were coming to literally freaking kill the guy, and he still felt safer in that building than in the car.
Well, you know, don't you have to sometimes, what would Taylor not know to testify to today about the blood, about, you know, if you have to do it with blood. She made, there was some reference to blood in some interview she did a while back, and she would not acknowledge it today. Something, and I'm not going to say, you know, the Tree of Freedom, you know, water with the blood of patriots or something along those lines, but she referenced blood. And every time you're talking about, rising up against a government and talk about blood, well, you're certainly not talking about peaceful means.
Well, she had specifically put out a video or a statement saying, you know, we cannot allow the peaceful transition of power. Joe Biden didn't win the presidency. We can't allow this to happen. Now, I think her only saving grace in the testimony that Bob, you know, this lawyer of some infamy took her to was the video she actually put out on January 6th, because she claims she was captured in the chamber like everybody else, right? She was a vulnerable victim of this riot, and she did put out a real-time video, which is more than you could say of the former president. And in that video, as Bob pointed out, well, she seemed scared. Yeah, maybe this plan had gotten out of hand.
Yeah, you think?
But I'm not clear that they're going to be able to keep her off the ballot. I'm not clear even that this administrative judge, despite the clearly lacking credibility of the testimony, I mean, she perjured herself upteen times. But I'm still not clear that this administrative judge is going to find a rationale to keep her off the ballot when she has not been charged with any crime or certainly not convicted.
Convicted, right. And that was, you know, we
not
talked
the
about
crime of insurrection
in
or seditious right. conspiracy
and
or
that's
whatever.
Specifically what you need, insurrection and rebellion. And while I seems like she's gone down that road, as obviously many other people have, if there's not a conviction of it, I get real concerned about, you know, some righties trumping up charges against someone and say, hey, you're part of the rebellion. We want you off the ballot. So those are I'm with you there. I think it's less than 50% chance, certainly, that this will happen and she'll get off the ballot. But the good news is on this, you just got one of the insurrectionist bastards under oath. And she shows her cowardice and her ignorance, because if you truly believed what you were doing, if you truly believed that, you know, we must stand up because if you lose your freedom, it has to be earned back with the price of blood. If you believed that, then stand up and say it. But now you're under oath and you think there might be some consequences to it. Now you back down. It just goes to show you how weak and feckless they really are.
Well, Dominic, a couple of more stories I'd like to talk about. Kevin McCarthy. Lordy, there's a tape.
Yeah.
You know, his statement yesterday didn't age so well.
No, not at all. Didn't age for like 2 hours later.
And accused insurrectionist Madison Cawthorn. We've got incriminating photos. I'll just leave it there for now. Come back. You'll hear why. More Devil's Advocates, the Friday edition. The Testa Friday edition. See what I did there?
I see.
Get in the car.
Everybody's doing it.
Now.
Okay.
I think the White House could have handled this better.
.com.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition airing of the grievances encouraged at 844-967-2789. Going there momentarily. Dom, you brought this to my attention, as did, I think it was Peter in the audience, just shared this story with me. And I said, we're going there next. But here's the story. It is an exclusive at Politico, and there's some incriminating photographs of Madison Cawthorn, the perhaps alleged insurrectionist. Some are trying to bar him from the ballot, and some of his own caucus, they're not very happy with this guy, Dom, because he had alleged that the Republicans were, doing coke-fueled orgies.
Yeah, man. They invited him to the party, apparently.
Well, now that I see how he wears a lingerie, Dom, now I can see why he got invited to the coke-fueled orgies. Madison Cawthorn is here in these photographs, Dom, being ogled by some women, sort of touching himself in a weird, sexy, air quotes, kind of way.
Looks like he might have a finger on his nipple.
Like he's self-stimulating.
Yeah, like
his areola, something like that. Like
the fat bastard from Austin Powers.
And he's drinking what appears to be a brown liqueur, you know, like a scotchy, bourbony kind of thing. A couple of women over his shoulder, and he's got on, you know, sort of a lingerie top with a bra on top, Dom. He makes a fine sight. Photographs obtained by Politico appear to show Madison Cawthorn. You know, I bet he says he doesn't recall this.
Oh, no, he has a response. I'll get to that in a moment.
Well, they appear to show Madison Cawthorn, the embattled Republican congressman from North Carolina, who recently accused his GOP colleagues of inviting him to orgies. Well, those are the best kind of friends. Wearing lingerie in what appears to be a party setting. Oh, yeah, it's a party, all right. Cawthorn, 26, was raised in a conservative Baptist community in Henderson County, North Carolina, and has staked his political persona on the arch-traditional Christian principles and the insistence of the importance of the kind of hyper-masculinity, Dom. I bet he's got tan testicles.
I mean, he is wearing that bra very masculinely.
His comments about sexual perversion in Washington, made on a podcast, which he later admitted were exaggerated, were they drew the public disapproval and disavowal of Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Well, we know he's a liar. McCarthy, you know, his own word doesn't stand up for more than a couple hours, as well as other Republican leaders, including those in the North Carolina Congressional Caucus. Dom, the revelation of the two photos is the latest in a series of unflattering headlines for the... There's no bad press! Unflattering headlines for the freshman member of Congress in the run-up to his primary in his first re-election bid. Oh, we wish him well. Cawthorn was paralyzed from the waist down as a passenger in a car accident in Florida in 14. In recent months, he has called Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky a thug, and he suggested teetotaling Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has a drinking problem. No, that might be you, sir. And racked up a collection of traffic transgressions, including speeding, driving with expired tags, and driving with a revoked license. He has a court date in May and June.
Crudy, I'll jump down here.
Defendant.
from Political Breaking today, Cawthorn said, I was raised on proverbs and proverbs. I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
Proverbs,
people.
Man.
Proverbs, proverbs, and push-ups, Cawthorn said in a podcast in September of 2020.
You were raised on tequila and push-ups, right, Tom?
I subscribe to Judeo-Christian beliefs, he continued. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I think if you think about my political ideology, where it really stems from, you know, my ethics and my morals and what I think is right and wrong, you look to ancient Jerusalem. You've got ancient Judeo-Christian values, so right and wrong, he continued. I also cling to a lot of traditional values and a lot of traditional ideas because they've worked in the past. And this is
Old Testament guy.
Yeah.
Originalist, if you will, Dom.
Quote, I think we have bred a generation of soft men that generation has created a lot of problems in our society and our culture, he said in a March 2021 podcast designed to reclaim and restore masculinity in a society that is ever more dismissive of what it means to be a man. There's only one God and two genders, he said in a tweet earlier this week.
And he represents them both in these photographs,
I mean, Dom. If you wear it.
He does wear it well. He looks sexy in the lingerie.
Well, I mean,
Better than Rudy ever did playing a transvestite.
I have worn lingerie in a party setting, and so I am not one to judge.
I'm sure you've got a thong on right now.
It takes some confidence in yourself to do such a thing. So while I am not a hypocrite like Cawthorn, so what? But anyway, so here's Cawthorn's response from Twitter, 4:30 today. Quote, I guess the left thinks goofy vacation photos during a game on a cruise taken way before I ran for Congress is somehow going to hurt me. They're running out of things to throw at me. Share your most embarrassing vacay pics in the replies. Faceplant emoji, Madison Cawthorn, at Cawthorn4NC.
I hope someone sends one back of him with a ball gag, if you know what I'm saying. Because I suspect there just might be one from one of those orgies he attended.
I wonder if Gary Hart's going to send in some of his fun vacation photos.
The monkey business. He was out cruising himself, wasn't he, Dom?
I think so.
844-967-2789. As Peter, who also shared the article with me, said, not that there's anything wrong with
that. No, but come on, man. You're going to talk about masculinity, and then you're going to take pictures of yourself in lingerie. And I don't care about either, but can you really do both? Can you bitch about men not being strong enough and how it is this society is wrecking men because they're not manly? And if you wear women's clothes, you're wait, when they got pictures of you in lingerie. I'm just saying, it seems a little contradictory.
844-967-2789. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm Crudy. That's Lola. Connie, you're next on the phones. What do you got for us?
Well, I want to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. I believe when she ran for her district, she ran unopposed.
Could have been.
And the person that's Democrat that's running against her, I think, is that guy who smokes a lot of weed. He put out some commercials on Facebook and stuff about him and how he's running against her. I believe. I could be wrong. But
well, I think she comes from – unfortunately, I think she's reflective of her very red district in Georgia.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I don't think a Democrat could win that district. I think perhaps
but
a more –
if she ran unopposed,
well,
you know, I mean,
she at least
who's going to run against her then?
She at least needs a primary opponent, right? Someone – primarying her from the sane side of the spectrum?
Right. I don't know if she'll get that, but the Democrat is interesting in a good way. And as far as her testimony today, I don't think she had to be, you know, committed a crime or be, you know, adjudicated for a crime because this was a civil suit that was brought against her. So... because I think that the up north guys are doing the same thing to Ron Johnson.
Yes, they are. They're utilizing the federal courts. This is actually a state court action, and it's being led by Brad Raffensperger's office. The complaint came from voters in the state of Georgia. They're making this complaint to the elections establishment of Georgia, which includes the Secretary of State. So I believe it's Raffensperger's office that supplied the lawyer. Mm-hmm. And some of the the best stuff that I saw all day was like his opening statements when he laid out what he perceived to be the evidence of her insurrection. And you know, it was pretty damning stuff. I think the only saving grace Marjorie Taylor Greene had is the scared cloakroom January 6th video. Other than that, she seems awfully guilty.
Yeah, I think so, too. The whole thing of, oh, I'm so, you know, how dare you do this to me? You know,
she learned it.
Now she needs to lie in it.
She learned it from Trump. Deny, drag it out, never testify, not under oath. And when questioned whether or not she communicated with the former president, Donald Trump, who she's very proud to tell the courtroom today she's close friends with, but she would not claim or say or couldn't recall.
She would not confirm.
Whether or not she had had conversations with Trump about instituting martial law. I suspect she did. And when questioned again by the attorney Selly from Raffensperger's office, I believe, are you denying it? I don't recall.
Are you denying it or saying you just don't recall? And she's saying she doesn't recall because presumably, of course, she did. And there's probably other testimony
to deny it
somewhere
would be
else.
Apparently,
elsewhere.
Probably because she would have just said no if she could deny it, right?
Right.
If
exactly.
You deny it, you perjured yourself. If you don't recall, you haven't.
If she's under oath right now, so anything she says under oath in this civil case could technically be used against her in a criminal case, couldn't it?
It could, but she wasn't pleading the Fifth.
No, of course not.
She wasn't declining to give testimony because she might incriminate herself.
If you say I don't remember to every question, you may as well be taking the Fifth. Those are really
non-answers. That
worked out okay
for Alberto Gonzalez.
Yeah, and here we go. You know, there's going to be any comeuppance for this behavior. And for someone, again, it just strikes me as so pathetic for these anti-establishment, you know, if we're going to lose our freedoms, they're going to be paid with the price of blood. And, you know, we're going to, you know, we had a great meeting and we're working hard. And then you have an opportunity to make your case and you wither and slither and obfuscate. Oh, I don't remember. I don't recall. Oh, that's from CNN. Oh, that's not the entirety of the clip. I mean, if you run a clip of someone saying a full complete sentence in the context that they said it, how is adding another paragraph before or after, if it's in the same context, going to add anything to it? Of course, it doesn't.
As was pointed out in this civil action, there was no discovery. There was no ability to gather evidence. All they could really use was her own social media statements against her. And she denied. I don't recall. Is that me?
You know, I have so many staff, and it could have been somebody else who liked that little tweet about putting a bullet in Pelosi's head. Yeah, that could have been me. I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
I can't recall.
I don't recall.
844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Dick.
Hey, Dick.
Hey, was the sun out where she was testifying today? Sun's out, guns out. Man, she had the triceps and biceps going. Didn't she?
She's got some meaty arms. I'll give her that.
I know. I can't believe it. I mean, yeah. look what Michelle Obama started. Now you got women showing their shoulders. I mean, next thing you know, they're going to be voting.
Yeah. Sun's out, guns out. Anyway, I found...
Dom's got a different attitude.
Ridiculous.
Him and Madison Cawthorn, it's sun's out, buns out.
I look great in a pair of chaps, Dick, let me tell you.
But I don't want to go there. You know, the whole thing, isn't it kind of funny? She cops the Ronnie Reagan, I don't recall, and then her and her party wants to tell you, you know, that Joe Biden is, you know, compromised.
Right. His mental faculties
slipping.
Are failing him. Well, she selectively doesn't recall, right? She doesn't recall anything when talking to the plaintiff's attorneys, but when it's her attorney, oh, yeah, this happened on this day and this day, and she has all the details about that.
A pink dress and purple polka dot shoes. I was kind of feeling a little sad that morning because, you know, it's a little cloudy out.
Yeah, a year and 4 months ago, she can't remember at all. But some of this other, I mean, you know.
In her defense, Dominic can't remember yesterday's show, Dick.
It is tough sometimes, but I probably smoke a little more weed than she does.
Yeah, no, she was a piece of work. I watched it early on, and that judge was making me sick because he was actually running interference for her early in it. I get home from work, and I'm like, I turned it off because he was making me so mad. And then she hung herself afterwards anyway.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dick. Happy Friday to you. I thought the judge did a fairly decent job. That was my impression as well, Dick. When I first saw it, it seemed like she was kind of defending her. But I get his position, and I think he let some of the questioning go on. He looked at the video, so like, oh, you know, I can't. And that was cut up, and it's from CNN or Mother Jones or whatever. And the judge is like, I mean, it's the video. I mean, that's you. You said it will continue. So I got that impression first, but I think when it all was all said and done, I thought the judge handled the case fairly well.
You know, I was once a defendant caught on videotape, and I walked in there with my lawyer for.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day, of the week. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. Air your grievances at 844-967-2789.
Now I've got a grievance because I was telling a story on myself before I was so rudely interrupted by the commercial break. I was
damn clocks.
Apparently not paying attention to. But anyways, here's this story. I have been in the position of defendant, and I had to go down to the police station and look at a little videotape, and I took my attorney. He was the former district attorney, so, you know, supposedly I had a good attorney. Former prosecutor, you'd think he would give me capable defense.
You'd think.
So I'm down at the cop shop, and I got Roger with me, the attorney. Roger and me, and, you know, the police shows this video, and there I am. And I'm feeling a little Marjorie Taylor Greenish, you know. I don't recall. It kind of looks like me. Yeah. You know, that's what I'm thinking in my head.
She just pulled the wasn't me. Wasn't me.
Well, I would have tried the it wasn't me because that had been the line I was using with everyone for months up to that point. Especially to the step-parents. Oh, I thought I saw you on CNN. Wasn't me. Must have been a guy that looked a little bit like me.
Well, it wasn't me.
But anyway, so I'm watching this videotape, and I got my defense attorney with me, and the cop looks at me, and I look at my attorney, and he says, "That looks just like you." And from that point, he looked at me and said, "Why don't you swear out a statement? You know, sort of like a confession." And I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm paying for this? 844-967-2789. At least the somewhat unhinged James Bopp offered more cover fire for his client than Roger did for me. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC. Welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, on the whole 14th Amendment thing, I just don't see the word that conviction is required in that. And maybe, you know, that my sense of justice maybe say, well, yeah, we usually require conviction, but they were looking at a case there that just got done with the rebellion, and they could see it happening again in the future, and that's what they attempted. Let's face, you know, all the evidence now, circumstantial though it may be, Mike Pence is afraid to get in the car because he doesn't know if he's going to get protected or going someplace to find himself.
Well, Mark,
know, he and his whole family buried in concrete.
Well,
I mean, that
interesting question posed. But Jamie Raskin has said prior, as has Liz Cheney, I believe, that there are crimes that occurred in regards to January 6th that have not yet been alleged. Well, suddenly I got a new one I'd like to think about alleging. perhaps the contemplated kidnapping of the Vice President of the United States.
Not just kidnapping, possible doing away with the president.
Well, either
of those circumstances, regardless of the degree of kidnapping versus worse, what that means then that the Secret Service was in on it? I mean, that's the only way that happens.
Didn't we just hear a recent story about how a couple of Biden and Jill Biden's Secret Service people have been, let's just say, bought off with some cheap tickets? I mean, it wasn't even a lot of money. Yeah. They're getting bought off for a couple grand.
Right, right. It's cheap to buy people off, man. People are cheap. You got to raise your prices, folks. So, and it's not to say that the Secret Service hasn't had, of course, you know, bad press or has been a taxed agency over the last several years. I remember there was a Cartagena, you know, wheels up, rings off party going on down in Colombia a while back.
I heard Madison Cawthorn got invited.
Yeah, cocaine and orgies, baby. So, I mean, but that is a scary, scary thought. If, you know, how would the vice president, you know, be monitored? Well, it'd have to be through the Secret Service. I mean, I don't know how else you're gonna find my iPhone and track them that way. So
they've got him chipped. Came with his booster shot.
Came with the vaccine. So any travel down that road, down that discussion, involves all sorts of other really, really, really unfathomable things.
Well, that would take it to a completely different level of criminality, would think.
Yes,
and if this is exactly, if I'm not way out over my skis on this one, I mean, if this is indeed what Jamie Raskin is alluding to, a plot to kidnap the vice president, I mean, he wouldn't get in the car with his wife and daughter. He stayed on site.
Well, so it's either that or he was aware of the plot to keep him away from the Capitol. Say it's not as bad as that.
He is that courageous. He is so courageous that he's going to stay at the site of a riotous insurrection rather than getting in a getaway car. He's more afraid of the getaway car with his wife and daughter in tow.
Yeah, I know, man.
That doesn't add up to me, man.
No, I know. I hear you. It is. It's very strange. Very strange. Crudy, I know we're kind of running out of time here, and it's been a fun week, but I got an air grievance. We haven't really gotten to it, and it's a little sad, but they laid to rest the Patrick LaJoya from Grand Rapids, who was executed by that cop for resisting arrest. Shot in the back of the head. My understanding, an independent autopsy showed that the pistol was right to his head. Lane prone or face down, shot in the back head by the police officer. And, you know, I know the thin blue line folks are, you know, never resist. But, you know, this is not a comply or die country. And if you're pulling someone over for a misdemeanor traffic stop or whatever the case is, and there's no compliance or there's a challenge, that does not give police officers the right to execute a guy by shooting him in the back of the head. Once again, an unarmed black man in this country shot to death by police for resisting arrest. That's your conclusion. That's what you go to. Very sad. It's outrageous. And I feel for his family, and our thoughts to go out to them. And this hopefully will keep on fighting that fight. This is not okay. And it's a grievance of mine. We didn't get to it this week, but, you know, he's dead and gone. He's in the ground today.
Well, I'm glad I get to follow that cheerful note to end the week.
Go, your turn, Crudy. Last minute.
Here's my final thought for the week. I partied with our buddy Kirk Bankstead last night. We met out at like happy hour. And I had to put him in an Uber. He was at my house till nearly midnight. I'm like, dude, I got to put you in a car. I'm not getting in the car. I said, get in the car.
Get in the car.
So anyways, had a good time with Kirk last night. I know he was watching very close the testimony of Marjorie Taylor Greene because he's been fundraising the federal lawsuits against Rojo.
Well, he's doing a similar thing, but in a different court, right? So it's not going to be the same kind of issue and
it all cost money, lots of money. Thank you to our fine guest earlier in the program, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, Sarah Godlewski on Monday, Al Franken next Wednesday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Disneyland, you big galoot. Fancy Brian gone next week. Evan will be screening your calls throughout, though, you know, because we don't let him get in the car.
Well, you're wearing a mask.
I find it sexy. Oh,
you want my body? You think I'm sexy? Something to let me know.
And that's when the whores come in.
That plus crap.
Thinner.
Grace, he's tiny.
Get in the car.
Everybody's doing it.
Now.
Okay.